Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story, and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It is about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And it is about the gospel of the kingdom. And I love this passage from Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring the good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I want to talk today about how Christians need to get involved and expose the truth. As you heard on our last episode, we exposed another local candidate, this one running for city council in the town of Richland, Washington, with ties to FutureWise, one of the lead Marxist organizations here in Washington State, that seeks to take away private property rights. That is their avowed goal. And they do it in many different ways, and they make it sound like it is really for your own good or the protection of the yellow-petaled bladder pod. But it actually is part of a Marxist agenda straight out of the Communist Manifesto Chapter 2, which says there should be an abolition of private property rights. That's where all this comes from, by the way. You can read through it. It's literally a playbook that they're following. But a lot of people think maybe, oh, that's just kind of out there. Is it really that bad? Folks, I want to hit on that first, and then on should Christians expose the truth? The first is, with Christians in America right now, if you are not educating yourself on some of these issues, if you are just thinking, most people are good, but there's a few that maybe aren't so good, and it's the few that are giving the rest a bad rap, something along that line, then you probably don't understand what is really coming against this country. Because right now, what we have seen in just the last 2 years is outright evil. It is an attempt to destroy this country, an attempt to destroy everything that we hold dear. And if we don't call it that, we're going to miss out on what the enemy is doing, and they're going to run over the top of us because we may understand ourselves, but we do not understand the enemy coming against us. And so many times, this admonition of Edmund Burke, and you can actually read about this and find this quote, but I want to read the full quote because a lot of people have been asking for it, but it's from the Works of the Right Honorable Edmund Burke, Volume 4. And I want you to hear what he says, because this is the time that we live in, and we need to grasp this reality. Otherwise, evil is just going to continue to go forward, and we're going to be unwitting dupes to its success. Here is what it says. Again, the Works of the Right Honorable Edmund Burke, Volume 4. There is no safety for honest men. but by believing all possible evil of evil men. And by acting with promptitude, decision, and steadiness on that belief. I well remember at every epoch of this wonderful history, in every scene of this tragic business, that when you're sophistic, and this is speaking of sophistry coming from Plato, sophistic usurpers were laying down mischievous principles and even applying them in direct resolution. It was the fashion to say that they never intended to execute those declarations in their rigor. In other words, what Edmund Burke is saying, that throughout history, he's writing this not 10 years ago, hundreds of years ago. He says, if you believe that they're like, oh, we're not going to really use that declaration, that's just scaremongering. And I remember people saying this 12 years ago when I was warning that we were headed in this direction where ultimately they would lock down society. Ultimately, they would use emergency powers to take people's property, their businesses, and try to force people into compliance with things that went against their conscience. People said, oh, that's just fear-mongering. And now here it is right in our face, because I understood what Edmund Burke is talking about, that they will always say, oh, it's not really as bad as you're saying, when in fact that is exactly what they're planning and exactly what they want to use it for. Here's how it continues. This made men careless in their opposition. In other words, oh, okay, well, it's not as bad as you say it is. So this made men careless in their opposition and remiss in early precaution by holding out this fallacious hope. The impostors deluded sometimes one description of men and sometimes another, so that no means of resistance were provided against them when they came to execute in cruelty what they had planned in fraud. I'm going to read that last one again. By holding out this fallacious hope, the impostors deluded sometimes one description of men and sometimes another, so that no means of resistance were provided against them when they came to execute in cruelty what they had planned in fraud. Edmund Burke was warning us of what was about to happen in the Western world if we let lesser men who are bent on ambition and evil into positions of power that they would always say, oh, it's not as bad as you say it is. This is just fear-mongering. When in fact, what they were planning was evil. And now we are seeing it right now in America. They are executing in cruelty what they planned in fraud. One of the best quotes I know historically to describe the situation we're in right now. And so this brings up the second point. So as Christians, we need to understand that evil exists, and it will always try to convince you that it doesn't exist, or that you're just imagining things, or that you're blowing things out of proportion, or you're really not, well, grounded in reality. You must be a conspiracy theorist. Evil always takes that approach. Which brings us to the second point. What do Christians do? Should Christians provide resistance against evil? What does the scripture say? Well, Matthew 24:24 says that there will be false prophets in the latter days, which also means there will be true prophets. But we're supposed to distinguish between the two and expose the falsity for what it really is. So in other words, today where we see false prophets all around us, in politics, in the church even, our job as Christians is to resist evil. It isn't to just pray for it. It is to resist it. not comply with it. Call it out for what it really is. Fight it at every turn. Fight it in the courtrooms. Fight it in the pulpits. Fight it at the ballot boxes. Fight it in the newspapers. Fight it on the internet. Fight it everywhere that it rears its head. We should be resisting it. Which brings me to this point. Today, this evil is now being exposed because people are waking up and the forces of evil are running out of time. And so they understand that and they are now racing toward a finish line, exposing themselves for what they really are. And rhino Republicans that have been covering for some of these people literally for decades are also being exposed along with this. There's another quote that I want to read to you that I think really encapsulates this. And the context of this is interesting. This was written by a man named Edward Yashinsky. He was a Yiddish poet who survived the Holocaust in World War II only to die in a communist prison later. And here's his quote, "Fear not your enemies, for they can only kill you. Fear not your friends, for they can only betray you. Fear only the indifferent who permit the killers and betrayers to walk safely on the earth." And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a pastor executed by the Nazis, said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." As Christians in this time, if we're indifferent, if we just sit back and allow this stuff to happen, we actually become complicit in the sin that is raging toward us in this world. If we have the ability to resist and stop tyrants and we do nothing, we become complicit in the sin of tyranny. We become complicit in the sin of theft. In other words, the stealing of people's property. We become complicit in the sin of murder, the taking of innocent human life. We become complicit in the sin of bearing false witness by going along with the lies. It's not just enough to say something. In America, what has made us great for these last 250 plus years, America was in existence before we were even called the United States. Because it existed in the hearts of men through Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that there is no king but Jesus. And Americans, when faced with truly great evil, were always willing to sacrifice everything up into and including their lives in the defense of liberty, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where do you stand today in America? Where do you stand today as a Christian? Now is the hour for Christian patriots to stand. And that brings me to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Coming to us from the New American Magazine. By the way, one of the best publications in America, Alex Newman, Bill Jasper, doing a fantastic job exposing the deep state and the powers that are even behind that. But coming just from the New American, the United Nations says to Texas, "You must go green." Texas says to the United Nations, "Pound sand." God bless Texas. Texas just endured this brutal winter season last year, where they had 111 deaths, mostly from hypothermia because of the wind power that failed. Now, the problem with wind power, there's something I got to digress a little bit on this. You have something called base load power. So the best base load power that is out there known right now is hydroelectric power. Some would argue nuclear power, but hydroelectric power naturally, because it always provides a steady base load of power. In other words, a steady, solid amount that can always be counted on of power. The problem with wind power is, and I'm not even talking rare earth minerals, the problem with wind power is the wind isn't blowing when you need the power the most. In other words, when the huge storm comes in and the freeze comes in, the storm passes by, the freeze sets in, there's no wind, you still need power for heat. It is actually one of the most unstable forms of power. And so when these radical socialists under the guise of environmentalism came in and said, we need more wind power, we need more solar power, they were actually intentionally trying to destabilize the United States electric grid, because the U.S. electric grid is one of the things that is a backbone to this country that helps make us great, helps make us powerful as a country. This is what the United Nations is saying to Texas. Clearly, they're part of this scheme to undermine the United States. The leader of the United Nations says Texas must end its reliance on oil and gas production to remain prosperous in the era of climate change. In other words, if you guys want to maintain your wealth, give up your wealth. Yeah. Can you imagine going up to a Texas oil man and saying, you got to give up your oil and gas to remain prosperous? Oh, here's the rest of this. It says, at a UN summit next month, world leaders will be asked to rapidly cut greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. A vast increase in the production of renewable energy will be required to reach those targets. Quote, if Texas wants to remain prosperous in 2050 or 2070, Texas will have to diversify its economy, and Texas will have to be less dependent on oil and gas. Antonio Gutierrez says, incidentally, Antonio Gutierrez used to be the president of the Socialist International, the largest socialist organization at that level that encompasses a lot of countries that represent the United Nations or are represented in the United Nations, which explains why the United Nations is so far off. So the, I love this. Texas to United Nations, pound sand. The world is reeling from spiraling fuel costs caused by premature over-reliance on renewable energy. High fuel costs punish middle-class families and stoke the supply chain crisis. Texas oil and gas is needed right now. Greg Abbott. Now, I'm not saying Greg Abbott does everything right. I'm not saying he does most things right, but on this, that was exactly the right thing to say to the United Nations. Which brings us to the National Pulse. Bush Foundation event sponsored by Chinese state-run think tank. Neil Bush, son of former President George H.W. Bush, co-sponsored a forum with a Chinese Communist Party-controlled influence group, repeatedly asserting that it doesn't matter where COVID-19 originated. Neil Bush, the founder and chairman of the George H.W. Bush Foundation for U.S.-Chinese Relations, co-hosted the online forum, 50 Years of U.S.-China Exchange in Retrospect, The Bush Legacy and Beyond, with the Center for China and Globalization. Okay, so the Bush family, nobody really should listen to them anymore. Some people warned about them a long while ago. The fact they are now literally in bed with a Communist Chinese Party-controlled influence group should tell you all you need to know. This is the idea that rhinos think they can get away with this constantly. And so many Americans are like, well, no, I thought he was really a nice guy. Stop. Understand who is really in bed with those that seek the destruction of this country. This moves us next to Reclaim the Net. Trucking Alliance warns of looming disaster if vaccine passports are introduced. and would further cause disruption of the supply chain. The Canadian Trucking Alliance has warned of substantial supply chain disruptions if the U.S. enforces vaccine passports at the border. Trucks facilitate 70% of the $650 billion trade between Canada and the U.S., and about 40,000 U.S. drivers and 120,000 Canadian drivers operate in this cross-border trade between the two countries. This Canadian Trucking Alliance said 20% of drivers will stop cross-border operations once the vaccine mandate is enforced. I want you to understand what that means. 20% of Canadian truck drivers crossing the border is 22,000 drivers, and 40% of U.S. truck drivers would be 16,000. Would almost immediately exit the Canada-U.S. trade system should the vaccination mandate take place or take effect in January 2022. So now you kind of see why they're doing this vaccine passport, because they want to have supply chain disruptions as people choose their conscience over their job. And we're seeing that already here in Washington State. So part of this is intentional, that they want to disrupt the supply chain. The other part of it is they want to intentionally enforce more control mechanisms and in place more control mechanisms. Epic Times. Shipping companies fear catastrophic supply chain fallout over new California port fees. So as we discussed earlier this week and last week, they're going to try to do other things to help disrupt the supply chain. One of these is the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach in California announced they would fine ocean carriers for containers that stay too long at port terminals. Sounds great, but the problem is, again, it will disrupt the supply chain, making it too expensive to unload the containers. In addition to the slow walking of the containers off the ship. So this is one of the reasons that the gross domestic product slowed to 2%. So the GDP is to 2%, the weakest of the COVID recovery. Wow. The deceleration reflected a sharp slowdown in personal consumption. So people are starting to tighten their belts here in America. Now, shifting gears to the national front, Populist Press, Attorney General steps in, opens investigation after audit discovery. Arizona Republican Senate President, Karen Fan announced this week that the state's Attorney General has opened up a formal investigation into the 2020 presidential election. Maricopa County did not turn over the routers, did not turn over their Splunk logs. They have now admitted before Congress that they deleted files the day before everything was supposed to be turned over or turned in and over to us. So clearly there's a cover-up going on down there in Arizona, and the Attorney General down there is doing the right thing and investigating it. Which brings us to another thing from Populist Press. Clinton camp imploding, another felony arrest warrant issued. An attorney who was once the co-chair of the Clinton Global Initiative has been charged with felonies, and an arrest warrant has been issued against him by Denver District Attorney's Office. Steve Bakar has been charged with securities fraud and theft. Criminal complaint against him accuses him of stealing between $100,000 and $1 million and lying to an investor, according to the Denver Post. So this is kind of interesting. Some arrests are starting to happen, but these are lower level functionaries in this stuff. It seems like the lower level functionaries always take the brunt of these things. Where is the real arrests and investigations of those at a higher level? It remains to be seen. Coming to us from AND Magazine, AND, AND Magazine, deepening rot at the heart of the Republic. I want to pull one thing out of here. This is so interesting. And this has to do with the JFK assassination. I believe there will be something released here very soon that will be as close to conclusive as you can get on this issue. I think clearly any American with a thinking mind believes that this was a coordinated assassination of the former U.S. President John F. Kennedy. And here is what this article says. As expected, Joe Biden has punted his legal obligation to release all files related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. They're still withheld from the public. Why? 48 years. Why? And this is what's so interesting. They didn't give really a good reason. And I believe it's because Americans know there are forces at work trying to rule this country that override the will of the people when they want to. And if the Americans continue to wake up, this would be one thing that would help them wake up, is revealing the truth behind the Kennedy assassination. But we can't get stuck back in the 1960s, 1963. We need to understand that the families behind this, the powers behind this, have been doing this for a very long time. And what are we, the people, going to do to reclaim freedom and liberty in this country? That's the true question. One of the things we can do is to stand against Governor Inslee's attempt to effectively seize control of all small businesses in Washington state. Now, this article was in several publications. I want to pull up one, and if you guys want to look at these things, you can always go to my account at Gab. But WorldNet Daily had this a couple of days ago. Governor takes over state's private businesses, mandates vaccines for all. Quite literally, the governor of Washington state thinks that he can say that all workers must be vaccinated in order to get a paycheck. You can read this on WorldNet Daily. Here's how we push back. November 19th, November 20th, Chris Ann Hall, personal friend, great lady, freedom fighter, is going to be here in Spokane, Washington. 6:30 on the 19th, Chris Ann Hall is going to be screening her movie, Non-Compliant, and showing how to fight back against some of this. The next morning, Saturday, at 11 o'clock here at On Fire Ministries, both of these are at On Fire Ministries. At 11 o'clock, we are going to be having a solutions summit about taking back the economy, decentralizing the economy, creating a civilization that works. So in this time, what can we do as Americans to maintain our freedom? That's going to be from 11 to 12:30. Then at 1 o'clock out at Valley Assembly of God, Chris Ann Hall is going to be teaching even more on how to push back and how to win this fight for our freedom and liberty and preserve the republic. So please join us November 19th and 20th. Chris Ann Hall here in Spokane, Washington, On Fire Ministries on Friday night with Non-Compliant, the movie. Saturday morning here at On Fire Ministries at the Solutions Summit, we're going to be talking about decentralizing the economy, which you can do. And then Chris Ann Hall is going to be teaching again 1 o'clock out at Valley Assembly of God on the same day. I hope to see you all there. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And make sure you go to Gab and MeWe and Getter and Parler and all the alternative ones. Follow at Matt Shea. Share these things with your friends and family. Educate them on what's going on. And if you absolutely have to, you can go to Facebook, Patriot Radio US. And remember, we are on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, and we are replayed every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 9 o'clock across the entire American Christian network. All right, it's my great honor to bring back on one of my heroes in this time who called this so long ago about technocracy, my good friend Pat Wood of Technocracy News. And Pat, how are you doing today? You've got a great article out there we want to talk about today.
I'm doing great, Matt. Thank you. And yes, there is just so much coming at us. It's unbelievable, but we try to keep up with it.
Well, you nailed this a couple years ago when you started Citizens for Free Speech, that they were going to attack free speech. They were going to come after us. And they were going to try to shut that down first, because if they could control the flow of information, they could essentially control the resistance to these tyrannical policies.
That is exactly right. And, you know, controlling the narrative now is being accomplished on a global scale. People really need to get in touch with this. This is not just a Republican-Democrat issue. Every country on earth right now is going through the same thing we are, and the narrative is the same. The policies are the same. And basically, it's meant to just to crush society as we have known it throughout the world. And free speech, the destruction of free speech, is the place to start. This is what technocrats have done. You know, it started with the big social media giants, for instance, the Twitters and the Facebooks back in 2016-17, and it's gotten worse ever since.
So tell the listeners a little bit about the Great Reset, just to kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about next. Yeah. What is the Great Reset? Where did it come from? And why should people care?
Well, yeah, you know, years ago when I studied, spoke a lot about the Trilateral Commission in the 70s and 80s, they pictured themselves as being in hiding. They never would really come out to play. They kind of, you know, said, well, you're right wing or left wing nutcake, or, you know, to just deflect the criticism. But today, through the auspices of the World Economic Forum especially, they're in wide open view for everybody to see. They're crowing about what they're doing now. They're not hiding anymore. They're in plain sight. Their website can be read by all. It's weforum.org. And the stuff on there, you know, about what the Great Reset is, it has to do with sustainable development, which I've documented extensively is really technocracy from the 1930s. And they intend to tear down the current existing economic system in order to have this Great Reset, they call it, and to build back better. We've heard that term all over the world, too. Well, building back better is predicated by the fact that something has burned down first. And what's burning down is what we're looking at right now, Matt. This is global, again. Every nation on Earth is struggling with the same issues that we are. I can only hope that we beat the others to a path to a solution for this, to knock these people out of the saddle.
I hope so, too. And this is why it's important to get on the free speech issue right now. So there is a great article up about what's called the Great Narrative, which is literally an initiative. They're being very public about this. Dr. Evil himself, a.k.a. Klaus Schwab, is saying exactly what they want to do. So for the listeners that have not heard of the, quote, Great Narrative, explain to them what it is.
Oh, my gosh. This even shocked me. Not really surprising that they would do it. I just didn't know that they were going to do it. But the World Economic Forum is sponsoring a big event in the UAE, and it's going to be on creating what they're calling the Great Narrative. And what they want to do is create, a system of propaganda that will drive their Great Reset. And they're very open about it. They're not even hiding it anymore. They're just saying, we're going to get together and we're going to make the greatest narrative to sell our pitch deck that you ever saw in your life. And, you know, so all the big mucky mucks are going to fly there in their private airplanes and jets and stuff, and they're going to talk about how to create this global propaganda campaign to drive this Great Reset home to the whole world.
So obviously they're trying to legitimize what they're doing, but I mean, it would be hard, I would think, to have some sort of a narrative that says, give us all your property, give us all of your liberty, give us your life and all your money and your bank accounts, and you're going to be a lot happier. And yet that's exactly what they're trying to do. How are they going to approach this?
Well, it is. Now, you have to remember there's two groups of people that they're talking to. One is they're, in some sense, they're addressing us. You know, we're on the receiving end of the propaganda, and they'd like to get us to go along. That's why they say you'll own nothing and be happy. You know, they say, well, of course you'll be happy. They want you to just repeat that over and over until you're convinced. But the most important group of people that they're talking about with this narrative are the global corporations that are meeting at the World Economic Forum, for instance. That is those, you know, 5,000 truly global corporations that have no home in any given country. They're talking to those companies who have amassed great, great resources, tremendous numbers of employees, tremendous influence on the global economy. These are really the people that they want to reach to get them all marching in lockstep to accomplish the Great Reset. They want everybody on the same page in their own auditorium, if you will.
Well, let's... There are so many propaganda techniques that these guys have used over the years. But a lot of people are waking up now and saying, hey, anything that's from the global level, we're going to really look askance at. How do these globalists and technocrats think they're going to get around the skepticism of a lot of people, I would say a majority of people here in the United States of America?
Well, you know, we've waited a long time. We've had this conversation before. We've waited a long time for the sleeping giant to wake up. I think that's happening right now, and in a way, maybe in ways that we never really expected. But if you just take, for example, the movement in education with all the school boards and stuff across the country, where parents and angry mama bears are standing up and, you know, saying not just no, but heck no. You're not going to do this with our kids. You're harming our kids. And rightly, they are upset. Well, you know, when the globalist crowd gets into your pocket, then all of a sudden it becomes an issue for you. And this is really, I think, becoming a point of awareness with people in America. You see moms and dads standing up all over the country in defense of their children. You're seeing people stand up and other things going on, like with these mandates and stuff, you know, lots of demonstrations now. I just got a kick out of one band up in the Bay Area in Northern California, where the city of, Northern California towns are going after vaccine mandates and mask mandates for restaurants. And so In-N-Out Burger said, no, we're not going to do that. And so they've been in a big heated battle up there in Northern California. Well, some local band decided they're going to go out on the street. They set up their all their electronic instruments and stuff, guitar, bass guitar, drums, et cetera. And they did a concert right there on the street, right in the parking lot of In-N-Out Burger to support them, to say, we agree with you. Stand up for freedom. You never saw this, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, but it just tickled my heart to see this group of young people. All of them were probably, you know, not more than 30 years old. It was absolutely fantastic.
So, you know, we have a lot of people that have fallen into the vaccine narrative, gene therapy narrative. They've fallen for the fear tactics. They've fallen for the peer pressure. And yet they still somehow think they might have it still within them to stand against the tyranny that's coming. I see that they always try to, at the global level, this is for your own good. If you're against this, you must be selfish, when in fact it's exactly the opposite. What areas should we look at that they will do this? How will they try to implement this in the different aspects of society? Where are they headed with it?
Well, they're going to use what I think dirty tricks, politically speaking. We all understand what that is. I know you do. Dirty, low-down tricks to get each little segment of society to play along. It involves money in many cases. It involves, if the federal government says to Washington State, hey, we're going to withhold federal funds if you don't do X, Y, and Z. Well, you know the governor is going to do X, Y, and Z because he doesn't want to lose the funds, right? This kind of stuff happens all the time, and I believe that's going to get worse. All of these backroom deals, you know, I'll do this for you, you do this for me. This is going to just be horrendous across the country. And, of course, there are some states that are doing much, much better. Texas, for one, Florida for one for sure, South Dakota for one, Arizona's doing pretty good, and there's a handful of other states that are resisting this pretty well. But this whole thing basically is just based on dirty politics at this point to overlook the needs of the people. And, you know, just activate all the greed, the wannabe tyrants across the country, and there's a lot of them, just waiting for an excuse to stand up and lord it over somebody else. You know, they've been out there for a long time, kind of waiting for the opportunity, and now they've got it, and they're doing it.
Well, a couple episodes ago, we revealed a Marxist who is running for office down in Prosser, Washington. And then... on Tuesday, a Marxist running for city council in Richland, Washington. And it was so interesting to me because people, they seem to be like, well, is she really that bad? Well, yeah, their board of director members on the most Marxist organization outside of Fuse, Washington, in Washington State called Future Wise. And we've been talking about this Agenda 21 stuff, now Agenda 2030, and hopefully Agenda 2045, and they keep pushing it back. Movement for years, but it's like people still are like, I don't know, would they really do that in the local level in my hometown? Yes, they would.
Oh, yes, they would, and yes, they have, and yes, they are. They're doing it. And you know, it's interesting. I know you've fought ICLEI for years up there in Washington State. They came to us locally. That they didn't put a gun to anybody's head, but they came in and they had this program, they had these consultants, they had these lawyers, and they're sweet talking, and they talked cities and counties into going along with this agenda. Well, it could be reversed just as easily as they brought it in. People just need to see that, though. It is possible to reverse course on it. And there have been some cities that have thrown Agenda 21 out and all of the policies that go along with it. Hats off to them. You don't ever hear about those in the news because they don't want you to know that that's possible on a city basis or a county basis. But it is. Right. Citizens just need to stand up and take charge of their own, where they live. And, you know, like our director of training, Mary Baker, says, if you don't have a seat at the table, you are what's for dinner.
That's exactly right. And the other part of this, too, we have seen them bring back climate change. I thought it was actually kind of on its way out, but they're bringing back climate change now. And it's interesting that cryptocurrencies are now part of this conversation as well, as if they are. I want to bring this up because I had a listener send this to me, and I had heard about this, but I hadn't seen the actual patent for it. But there is a cryptocurrency system using body activity data. So quite literally, it would be cryptocurrency mining with your body activity. It would be a chip implanted to do that. So they're really moving toward a one-world currency with a chip. I mean, this is not science fiction anymore. They're talking about this. So if you could comment on the climate change part of it and also this cryptocurrency issue.
I would make the point first that the people that drove the climate change alarmism mantra for a long time were the very same people that drove the great panic of 2020 with the pandemic. Same people, same type of computer programming, computer algorithms that made all these crazy predictions about what was going to happen. They never came true. And the same universities that are generating these reports for the pandemic that were generating reports the month before for climate alarmism. Now, that tells you something right there. These people are all on the same page, same people, same narrative. It's just they're on a parallel track, but it's next to the track that they were on before. So it was perfectly logical at some point that the climate change narrative would come back into the picture again. It never went away. And here, and you're right, it's back on our face again. And the thing about it now is that there's as much talk about climate lockdowns now as there is, at least in some circles, as there is on COVID lockdowns, because they believe, well, it was so successful with COVID, why wouldn't it work for stemming climate change as well, or global warming? Let's just have a society-wide lockdown and kill economic activity in the process, of course, because that's why, in their mind, pollution and all this other thing, global warming, takes place. So It's very anti-human. Both of these policies are anti-human to the core. And just look at the damage that's happened to society because of COVID for the last year and a half. It pales in comparison to what any of the climate alarmism people did before. But now you can see them converging onto, they're coming back onto the same track. They're going to be eventually pulled by the very same engine, and they'll drive the whole narrative together.
Mm. I think that's exactly right. And they want to make this merging of everything. And that's where the transhumanism creepiness comes into that. And, you know, you read a patent like this, and I'm pulling this off of Google Patents. I don't normally use Google, but I want to use their own resource against them. And this is a human body activity mining process for cryptocurrency. So that means that the globalists are heading toward a one world currency. They're headed toward a cryptocurrency as a one world currency. And it's all going to meld into human beings. Explain that to some of the listeners who might be like, that's way too far out.
Well, this is exactly what Klaus Schwab himself has said in on videos. It's on the internet. You can go look at weforum.org. And hear good old founder of the WEF, Klaus Schwab, talk about the merging of technology with human condition. This is the transhuman dream, of course, and in many ways, they're already accomplishing it. And I have to say, too, just because a patent exists doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come to fruit just the way they wrote it. It may not. Lots of patents have been filed. They never really got acted on. But it shows you the mindset. The mindset these people is to take over the human condition completely eventually. And I have to say, I just wrote an article recently called Global Blueprint Exposed, The Takeover of All Genetic Material on Earth. And I think probably this is one of the most prescient discoveries I have made, maybe even in the last 10 years, Matt, because what I found out back during the Agenda 21 days in 1992, I know you remember that well, the big actors at the time that were working within the Biodiversity Convention, that ran in parallel with Agenda 21. They were linked together, but it was in parallel. The primary actors in that Biodiversity Convention were the biotech companies and the genetic engineering companies. That blew me away. I'd never seen that before, but I found document after document after document that this has been sitting there hiding in plain sight for the last 30 years. And the things that they talk about back then were ownership, you know, intellectual property rights, things like that. They call it genetic resources at the time. And they were talking about commercializing agricultural products, animal products. They're basically talking about taking over the genetic content of the whole planet. This was really the core of the Biodiversity Convention, it appears to me now that I've studied a little bit more. And fast forward to today, we see who is sticking needles in people's arms with genetic material, synthetic genetic material, by the way, is created in a laboratory.
Right.
And, you know, you say, well, who would have an interest in doing such a thing globally, mind you, not just in America, but everywhere on the planet, experimental drugs, not hardly approved anywhere. But who would have an interest in doing that except the very same people that orchestrated the Biodiversity Convention back in 1992 to pave a way for them to do what they're doing today? That's my point. It's absolutely shocking research. And it even shocked me. And, you know, I'm hard to shock.
I do. Well, I think that, you know, we've got a few minutes left here. If you could talk about now the importance of Citizens for Free Speech. And also, if you could tell listeners a little bit about Technocracy News.
Well, of course, technocracy.news is my professional site that chronicles everything relating to technocracy. Citizens for Free Speech is a nonprofit organization I started in 2018 once I saw the collusion between these big tech companies coming after anybody that bucked their narrative. And so we started out kind of in a humble way, but when COVID hit, our membership just exploded. And we're a nationwide organization. We have over 35,000 members now and still growing rapidly. And we're teaching people, training people, how to have civil discourse in an uncivil society. We need to get people, activists especially, back on the street again, back involved in their communities, able to speak, able to be statesmen, able to persuade, to win arguments, to drive some of this madness out of our society. And you and I both know it needs to start on a local level. That's where they got us in the first place. We need to start right where we live and clean up our own neighborhoods and our own cities.
Amen. And absolutely, we need to do that. Where can listeners go to get more information about all these things and read some of the articles that you've done over the years?
Well, citizensforfreespeech.org. Anybody can sign up. It's free. It's free speech after all. We're member supported, but there's no requirement to spend any money coming in, but we hope that you will stand with us. As far as technocracy.news is concerned, my books are available there, also on electronic bookstores and so on. But people can go there, get on the mailing list, and follow along with the narrative. You need to watch this stuff. You need to read this stuff for about 6 weeks and to really kind of get it through your head what's going on with technocracy and sustainable development and, things related to that. But I guarantee if you stick with it, you will have your eyes open over a period of time, and you'll get it. And when you get it, you're going to say, uh-oh, I better go do something about it.
That's absolutely right. So in that vein, what is one thing that the listeners can do right now to resist and to push back? Or if you've got three things, that's fine too.
Well, I'll tell you what, don't comply. Wherever you feel that somebody has a role for you to play. And that's not hard these days, right? Somebody wants you to play a role. Don't play it. I don't care what it is. I don't care how good it sounds. If somebody else is trying to get you to play a role that's not you, do not play it. Do not comply with it. Just stand there and look at them if you have to, but don't comply with the narrative. I'll just leave that wide open what that might be.
Amen. Pat Wood, thank you so much for everything you've been doing over the years to fight for our freedom and to expose this stuff that many people didn't even know existed. You've done a tremendous work. And I think a lot of the things you did maybe 10, 15 years ago, now is the right time for people to be learning about them. And so many people are waking up.
You're absolutely right.
Thank you. And blessings to you. Keep up the fight, Pat.
My pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
Pat Wood, Technocracy News, also citizensforfreespeech.org. Take a look at both websites. He's got some great resources on there, too, and things you can push back with. One of my favorite ones was the cards you can wear regarding the mask mandates that are out there. I love that. And people need to do it everywhere. And it's interesting that courage begets courage. When people see other people standing up, they say, okay, I can stand up, too. And they get emboldened, and then more people get emboldened, but somebody's got to take that first step. And that should be us. So I don't know what that last part was, but I want to end the show by really encouraging you, vote. Election's coming up. Many people said, elections are rigged. I'm not going to vote. No, still vote. Still vote. Still vote. There are some local elections here in Spokane County. I mean, quite literally, you've had mayors not stand up for the people, not push back on what the governor is doing. Ben Wick out in Spokane Valley, somebody that has been associated with the rhino side of the Republican Party and also affiliated with Democrats, not holding our best interests in mind. The guy who came into my office in Olympia and wanted a gas tax increase, which I probably said, no way, people pay enough for their gas. This is the same guy. And the same guy who didn't stand up for the people when Governor Inslee's mandates have come out and he's threatening virtually every business. Enough of these guys. Let's do the right thing. Let's put people in place that are going to uphold the Constitution of the United States, that are going to uphold Western civilization, that are going to uphold Christian values and principles. Because for too long, we've sat on the sidelines. And it's not just city council races, but school board races. Some fantastic candidates locally that have said, hey, we're going to get rid of CRT, critical race theory. We're going to get rid of the mask mandates on our kids and all the other garbage that's been going along with them. They're going to stand against the governor. And what he is doing is unconstitutional. And what he is doing in some cases is arguably immoral, if not outright. And so we need people that have that kind of backbone that are going to stand right now. Take a look at your local races. Don't get fooled by false prophets. Test the spirit. See who really is who they say they are. And make sure that you're encouraging your friends and neighbors to vote as well, even though they may think the system's rigged, to vote so that these people that are trying to hijack this country don't just rock right over the top of us. They actually have to perpetrate fraud to try to win. They have to do these things to try to win, and it makes it easier for them to be exposed. So do your part and help fight for liberty by voting this next week by Election Day. The last thing that I will say tonight is, get together with your family and discuss these issues. Discuss how are you going to not comply? How are you going to resist evil? How are you going to push back? How are you going to spread the truth and courage in this time of great peril here in this country? Because where there is great darkness, there is also great light. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless all of you. Keep up the fight.